In the studio with me today, I have Dr. Irinelle and Dr. Lillian, two incredible doctors, two incredible friends. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Caroline.
And we're going to talk about menopause. And first of all, just quickly tell us who you are, what your professions are, what kind of doctors you are.
I'm Irinelle Stancha. I'm an endocrinologist, and I had a previous internal medicine training, and I do see mostly outpatient endocrine issues like menopause, thyroid,
PCOS,
and I enjoy working with you because I learned a lot from your books.
I'm Lillian Lockett Robertson. I am a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist. I was in private practice for about 22 years, and now I work as an employed obstetrician at St. Joseph's Medical Center in Tacoma, Washington.
Beautiful.
And so my experience has been working with women from womb to tomb.
I love that. I love it when you say that, Lillian. You're such a good friend and such an inspiration, both of you. The way that you really see you two, the biggest thing that I think is amazing about, besides all your knowledge, is the fact that you really connect with your patients and you see the importance of mind.
Yes.
The mind involvement being this huge component, and not just a little component, being the up to 75 to 98% of the component in a person's healing. So we thank God for medicine, we thank God for doctors and the science that you bring, but there's so much of a mind component too. So today I want to talk all about this stuff in terms of menopause. Let's talk about, I get so many questions on menopause, and I can tell it from a mind perspective how to manage it, and I know it does work and help, but we need the, if you can talk to it from a professional.
Well, you know, when we think about menopause, we think about a woman's menstrual cycle that has ceased for at least 12 months. So if a woman past a certain age has not had a menstrual cycle for 12 months, then we deem that to be menopause. And what happens during that time is the levels of estrogen in her body is minimal. And so when that happens, there are symptoms that occur during that time. Interestingly enough, you can have symptoms that mimic menopause during the perimenopausal years. So you've not quite reached menopause. You still may have a cycle or two during the year.
Yeah.
And so that's what we call perimenopause. And so some of those symptoms can start to begin.
And that can go on for as long as a year?
Going on for as long as a year until you've stopped having periods officially for a full year. The symptoms that I'm describing are called vasomotor symptoms, which means that hot flashes, most women know, private summers where you are sitting and all of a sudden there's a palpitation, racing the heartbeat, hot flashes, and, you know, brain fog and all that stuff can happen.
Night sweats.
Night sweats can happen during that time. And so it's a time, a season in a woman's life where she's physically changed. She's not able to become pregnant on her own. Her fertility years are over. So psychologically and emotionally, it takes it takes its toll on a woman.
So this is something, menopause is something that is normal. So, you know, it's almost like woman feels abnormal. It's almost like we've been conditioned in society today to say, oh, it's this dreading, this terrible thing. Meanwhile, it's an incredible time of a woman's life. Obviously, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we definitely need help in terms of how to manage this well. And this, I get so much of that. And I try and help people mentally, as you know, with the mind stuff and diet and exercise and just seeing it with a positive attitude, because if you're optimistic about how you're functioning, you're going to influence your bodily health.
Yeah.
And it's definitely helped, but there definitely is a need for the gynecological and endocrinological guidance in this process.
You know,
this is knowledge and science that God's given us. So
we were talking earlier that, you know, puberty and menopause are not new.
No, they've been around.
They've been around since humans were around. And there was not such a
embrace it,
Not such a tragedy with teenagers or menopausal women, you know, 2,000 years ago.
So what's changed?
So what's changed? I think the perception transition. You know, we have several seasons in lives, and we transition through seasons,
and they're positive,
but I think we are bombarded with the ideal woman, ideal teenager, ideal, you know, image. I think we have so many things that bombard our brain that, of course, we're under stress, we're under attack, and that's what I'm thinking. There are more symptoms, more, physical symptoms, but of course, you know, that can be trauma at home or can be trauma in the work relationships. can be all these psychological things, other disorders, you know, a husband that's sick or a child that goes through cancer treatment, you know, can be so many things. Because I have women, you know, I see them for osteoporosis or other issues, and they never had, you know, they're 70 and they're like, oh, I had a little bit of, you know, and it's like, oh, not a big issue. But I noticed the association of them being very well fit, very good support,
good
attitude, you know. So you see, evidently, I don't have a research study in my office, but you see this trend.
You're seeing it daily. Yes, I mean, you're seeing it, anything that's evidence in itself is that you're seeing it daily. For both of you been practicing for years.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the things that I think is also important too is for husbands and men to understand, what's happening to the woman. So physiologically, there are changes that are happening in a woman's body. Her estrogen levels are much lower, which means that there's some ways of thinking changes, physical changes in our bodies. And so when we're measuring ourselves up to the next woman, then that could be a problem. When we're measuring ourselves to a woman that's in a different season in her life,
it's a problem.
There then can be a problem. So we have to make sure that we have the right mindset and see it not as a disease, not as a problem, but this is a time that we can embrace as women.
Yes.
So our mindset towards managing menopause first has to start with how we see ourselves, how we embrace. And it's, you know, you'd rather have menopause than not be alive at all.
Oh, exactly.
That's an alternative.
That's
a good trade-off, because a good attitude towards it really impacts how you respond to it and how you walk through that
My
season.
Goodness. So I'm hearing both of you brilliant doctors saying that our mind plays a massive role in the management. So we use mind with medicine.
Very important.
And we have the combination of, and you're not only saying mind and medicine, we're talking about mind, medicine if necessary, and diet, exercise, lifestyle, all the things that require work, which in today's age we know is people would rather just have a tablet.
I think it's very important, you know, especially the American diet full in, you know, processed foods and, you know, sugars in any form or shape, and sometimes hidden sugars. Like I have patients drinking soda
and thinking,
with zero calories, thinking that that's
they're
healthy.
Not having sugar.
It's like that's lots of sugars in there
and bad stuff. That's
bad
wrecking
stuff,
and disturbing the
and
brain.
And they don't exercise because, you know, 100 years ago, not everybody had a car, and they were doing a lot of gardening and other, you know, physical work. So now we move less. We eat more, we get addicted by that addictive diet, and of course we're going to have more symptoms because of a natural process. I cannot say it's a disease, even though
we've messed up a natural process. That's really what's happening, what you're both saying.
And then we come with hormones
flow.
And other things, and we do use it, you know, if the symptoms are very, you know, pronounced. I'm not totally opposed to it, and you may prescribe them even more.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Arnell. What we are noticing now in our practices as gynecologists, we're lending more towards getting away from, you know, the pharmaceuticals as it relates to menopause. There's some recent studies that are showing that there may be some increased risk with breast cancer,
and
particularly risk among women that may have histories of blood clots. And then some women just want to take it the natural way.
Yeah.
And they want to embrace the changes that life brings them, and they're very comfortable with that. So what we're doing now is we're really working with women, and I've done this in my practice, and it's been very, very successful, is to have them first embrace this season. In
Love
life.
It. So the mindset change.
The mindset changes.
Which is what you were,
you know, don't fight it, embrace it, understand it.
Beautiful.
And walk
get your husband
it.
To understand.
And
get
your
kids
husband
to
understand it.
It.
And just everybody understands this is what's happened. This is a new season. I'm still a mom. I'm still a wonderful person. But this, I'm in a different season.
Beautiful.
And so as they walk with you through that, then there's some things that you mentioned, Dr. Arnell, in terms of just lifestyle changes that really, really impact these women. We notice now that, you know, and I, of course, you mentioned I was a pastor's wife earlier. I see now, even in my congregation, these ladies that when we change their diet,
they change
and get them off of the sugar and
watch the modern American diet,
the fast food, eat real food, they feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the big complaints they all have is, of course, hot flashes and
the
lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can work with them and then encourage women to exercise during this time,
it's so good,
because not only are there changes, you know, emotionally, but physiologically, the bones are thinning during this time.
So
we're encouraging calcium, we're encouraging exercise.
And that can come through through diet.
It comes through diet.
Yeah.
It comes through
lifestyle
diet.
Change.
Comes mm-hmm. through weight resistance training. And so there's exercise and walking, things mm-hmm. that you can do to strengthen your bones. But mainly cutting back on the carbs. It's mm-hmm. amazing.
Now, isn't that, I remember, because I've got a lot of, actually got quite a few friends that are OBGYNs, and I remember the one explaining to me that when you're eating the modern American diet, you put on weight, your fat cells are actually producing mm-hmm. more right. estrogen as well. So
right.
you've
yeah.
got, and it's abnormal amounts.
It's
so
an
the more
abnormal
extra
estrogen.
Weight. Yes,
it's not
there we go. And that's contributing to the abnormality mm-hmm. of the hot
absolutely.
Flashes. And
absolutely.
The, yeah.
And it's contributing to the hot flashes, and it's the real problem is contributing to the weight gain. So one of the things that most women talk about is the abdominal, the midsection.
Yes.
And that's the dangerous type
yeah,
of
that's
weight gain.
That's very dangerous.
Because that's
the
where
heart,
the lipid diseases death. Can occur.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the metabolic syndrome, where
yes.
ladies will have increased risk of hypertension, diabetes,
yeah.
hyperlipidemia, and fatty liver disease.
Mm-hmm. Disease which are
so
life-threatening,
it puts you at increased risk for heart disease. And so
mm-hmm.
that's why we see a greater risk of heart disease mm-hmm. in this age of women. Because when we work on changing our diet, we work on exercising, we lower our risk for all of those factors.
Which is really important. Life, and what about surgically induced menopause? I mean, that can happen as well. So, for example, I had a situation like that. I'm 54 now, and 2 years ago, three, 4 years ago, I had a surgery, a major surgery that I had to have for pelvic organ prolapse,
mm-hmm.
which is another thing that we need to have a talk about, a show about, because a lot of women are walking around with pelvic organ prolapse and they mm-hmm. don't need to.
Right.
And it was stage 4, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a family that doesn't experience menopausal
mm-hmm.
symptoms. My
mm-hmm.
mother didn't even know she had menopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there was no, my sisters haven't. And suddenly from one day to the next, I had hot flashes up to 17 times a day. At nighttime, I would wake up to 15, 16 times a night, pouring with sweat,
mm-hmm.
and it was my OBGYN told me it was
mm-hmm.
from the
right.
it was
mm-hmm.
open. It was literally
now
odorant.
One of the things that happens, Caroline, is when you have surgical menopause before you actually have gone into
mm-hmm.
physiological menopause, the
uh-huh.
natural time. So you've actually cut
accelerated
short
it.
You've
I just
accelerated
shot straight
it
into
right
that,
you shot straight in it from fertility years to menopause.
Like it was boom,
within,
boom.
Within an hour.
Within that's exactly
and so
what
it's
happened.
Shocking on
exactly.
your body. And
mm-hmm.
so your symptoms sometimes can be worse. Because what
yeah.
happens with the natural menopause is there's a decrease.
It's a decrease.
It's
a
slow
to,
decrease.
Ah, that makes a lot of
yeah.
sense.
So you just jump from, you know, just right into the frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
so your symptoms
yeah.
were perhaps
dramatic.
Just
and
not, dramatic.
But I had a dramatic control of them when I started BHRT, bioidentical hormone
mm-hmm.
replacement
right.
therapy, which I have done every 3 months. And that
mm-hmm.
has completely
right.
reversed all symptoms.
And
I
that's
none.
A good way to do it because
yeah.
it matches
natural.
Physiologically what
that's
your body is
actually doing. That's what I wanted
to ask
you to talk about.
And when
so.
You have bioidentical, sometimes we use salivary testing, sometimes
yes.
we use blood testing
mm-hmm.
to see what matches you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more studies that are really working with patients' genetics to see what
mm-hmm.
your genes say you would need to
yes.
help to match that even better.
Which is fantastic.
But it's safer
yeah.
than what we sometimes
with
the pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly, because that comes from urine from a horse.
From horses.
Yeah, which is totally unnatural
yeah.
and synthetic
yeah.
as well. So it's
yeah.
a bit of a we.
But see, you were very good in exercise
health.
And with a very good
mm-hmm.
diet. So you had you
straight
needed a little bit of medication to kind of help with that sudden transition.
Yeah. yeah.
But you did the other, you know, two.
The other two, my lifestyle change in my mind. Yeah.
Unfortunately, in some menopausal women, you know, they may still smoke, and then they come with estrogen replacement. And you know that combination increases the cardiovascular disease and risk
breast
for
cancer,
breast cancer,
lung cancer,
strokes,
so many other
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And of course, in breast cancer, and I experienced breast cancer. You know, I could not have you know estrogen replacement.
Yes.
So there are some medications you
yeah.
know that can help you. Of course, for short term.
Yes.
You know, and I had to take a little bit of Effexor. It's an antidepressant, anti-anxiety, not for the moodiness, but for the hot flashes at night. There
yeah.
are data in health, right. in breast cancer women, because it was a sudden, again, I
yes.
had to have major surgery.
Surgical,
yeah, so
surgical
menopause.
Yes.
So,
surgical menopause.
But again, you cannot stay on, you know, sleeping pills and
right.
stuff like
it's
that.
It's a temporary
it's
thing
for,
to get your
yeah.
hot flashes under control.
So it's important to know that there's a difference. Surgical
yes.
menopause
that's what I wanted to mention
versus
natural
menopause.
Menopause.
Because there's a
mm-hmm.
decline,
yes.
but in surgical there's a just a sudden cutoff of the hormone levels.
You
it's
two
a,
are incredible. I just wish every doctor would learn from you, because your the way you explain things and the way that you, how many people you help through this. I mean, I really would love you to come back and share more, because this is powerful, life saving stuff. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's good to be here.
I want to go back again.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.